In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And verse 1 is interesting because, listen, as we read this, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him." So that's the time where Jesus comes and we're gathered together with him, right? So what would we call that in the church? We call that the rapture, right? Okay, so concerning the rapture. "Not to being soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." And so this is way back. Paul, first century Christian, you know, I mean, he's there. He was holding the coats of the men who were stoning Stephen, okay? A Pharisee. And his thing, in the first century, there's already rumors that the rapture's already happened, right? So rumors happen everywhere all the time about all kinds of things, don't they? He says in verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So what has to happen before Jesus comes? Because I love, you know, I get really involved in a lot of these, you know, so well, you can have a great big revival and there's going to be an awakening before the Lord comes. But what does Paul say is going to happen? He says there's going to be a falling away. A falling away. Nowadays, I don't know, has anybody heard of Dr. Brown? This guy has asked Dr. Brown, and he's a Christian apologist. And he had posted a blog about how yet another preacher of grace had fallen captive into sin. Because once, what happens is, once we start saying, well, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that, and we start kind of expounding the boundaries on what's permissible and what we'll say, okay, well, that's all right. Okay, well, this is okay. We can, you know, yeah, we're kind of pushing the line there a little bit on this. Downhill. "Let him who steals, steal no more." Steal no more, right? Not just that much further away from him. Because what happened was, is Ananias and Sapphira sold a house. We'll say they sold acreage. And they could have said to Peter, well, okay, so we sold our 5 acres for $400,000. We're going to give $300,000 to the church. Instead, they said, we sold the property for $300,000. And Peter says, oh, I understand by the Holy Spirit, you're lying. And when Sapphira comes in, he says, is it true that you sold your property for such and such amount? Yes. No, that's a lie. And you and your husband conspired together against the Holy Spirit, and you die right now. For lying. For lying. Let's look at John chapter 1. I am just going to bounce all over everything. John chapter 1, verse 45. Because this is a pretty profound statement. I'm sorry. Just verse 38. Here we go. This is what it was. Okay. "The prophets wrote Jesus of Nazareth." And I read that and I think, you know, we're so fond of saying we're not under the law, but here's the big difference, okay? The law in that reference is referring to the Torah, which is what we as Christians refer to as the paying for their faith. And I have to ask myself, if they said to me, I'm going to kill your children unless you denounce Jesus, I'm going to watch my children die. I'm going to watch my wife die. Because that's how they do it. In a family, they go after the children and the wife to get the husband to change his mind. If they can get the husband to change his mind, then the family's going to follow. How many husbands are willing to stand by and stand for their faith for Jesus at the risk of watching their family get killed? The Bible in Canada is becoming hate speech. You can get sued for speaking something from Scripture that is opposed to what's popular. Yes. Well, think about even in America. There's hundreds of cake makers, hundreds of bakers in a location. We're going to go to the one, and we're going to demand that they make us a cake. And what happens to that baker? They end up being sued, being in court, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars because they want to stand up for what they believe is right. If I went to a baker and said, would you bake me this cake? And they said no, it's a business. They have the right to refuse service. But I remember when I was a kid going into pizza parlors on vacation, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Yeah, you still see those signs. Okay, so I can be refused service because I don't have shoes on or I'm not wearing a shirt, which is totally unsanitary. Kind of just, you know, you go into, I mean, you don't even cook without your shirt on. I mean, you know, that's just, it's gross. Not to mention, you know, grease splatters. That would hurt. But here we are, and it just keeps, you know, the world keeps pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing on the church, and the church keeps backing back and backing up and backing down. And what's happening as a result? The church is getting less and less like Jesus and more like the world. And then we think, well, how could there possibly be a falling away? I mean, look how loving and gracious and merciful we are. I mean, we're accepting and tolerant. When Jesus fulfilled the law, he fulfilled what was written about him in the law and in the prophets. Genesis chapter 3, God speaks to Satan. He said, you have one that's going to bruise his heel, but I have one that's going to crush your head. That's the first prophecy about a Messiah. What's he going to do? He's going to crush the head of the devil. Colossians says that he made a spectacle of him openly, parading him through the heavenlies, as it were. In the old times, when a conquering king would take over a kingdom, they would do horrific things to the king, and then they would parade him through the streets so that everybody would see, this is your king, this is what's left of him. There's nothing left here to follow. And that's what the Bible says that Jesus did with Satan. Yet there's going to be a falling away before the Lord returns. And this has been one of those things that's been heavy on my heart for months, where Jesus says to these people when he returns, they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we lay hands on the sick in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I wonder how that could be possible. But I'm not picking on any denomination. But even in the Catholic Church, they have the things for casting out devils. Exorcisms, they perform exorcisms, right? And you can pray on your beads for healing and for blessing. And you can do all these things, but it's not producing any fruit. In our lives, there's so many things. Like, you know, we had this big cross up here. And when I first talked about taking the cross down, people got kind of like, you want to take the cross out of the church? Well, no, I'm not taking the cross out of the church. I'm taking a symbol of it out. You know what I'm saying? Because if we start worshiping a cross that's up in the corner and say, oh, look how holy we are. Oh. What is it? We've just made that cross an idol, haven't we? Yet Madonna wears a big cross around her neck. I guarantee you she's not got a real good close relationship with Jesus. Okay? I mean, you've heard some of the things. I really do. I don't watch the news. My dad is staying with us at our house, and so I didn't even know what channel Fox News was on. Or well, you know, and any news, you're going to get all kinds of just, you know, some people think The View is news. Some people think that Oprah Winfrey is news. And it's all besides the point. When it comes to what we're doing, is it being discipled by him? See, I can have all my theology right and not know him. I can be casting out devils. I can be laying hands on the sick and not know him. Yep. Think about the seven sons of Sceva. You've heard about the seven sons of Sceva? From the book of Acts. And they had seen Paul in his missionary journeys and the things that he was doing. And they thought that they would try it too. And there was this a demon-possessed person, and they went over to the demon-possessed person and they spoke to the devil and they said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who Paul preaches." And the demon says, "Jesus I know." This is the devil talking back to him. "Jesus I know. Paul I know. But I don't know you." Even the devils know if we're in relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? If the devil knows, how much of the trouble that we're in our own lives is brought on by ourselves from not having the right kind of relationship with our Lord, whom we're supposed to be being a disciple of. Okay, back to 2 Thessalonians. Oh, don't poke your eye out, David. 2 Thessalonians. The son of perdition, verse 3, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? It's important to have reminders. The Thessalonians are getting a reminder. They apparently have written to Paul and have questioned him because this letter is in response to their questioning and their wondering about the rapture. And is it possible that we missed it? And Paul is reminding them of what he said. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Because the lawless one is going to set himself up, and is currently setting himself up, and the Antichrist, and 1 John, John says, that the spirit of Antichrist, which is already at work in the world. So Antichrist is anti the Messiah, anti the fulfillment of the law, anti the fulfillment of prophecy. Okay? The lawless one is already working in the world. Come on, if he's already working in the world there, darkness. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Now you could say, well, who's the one who restrains? Is he the Holy Spirit? Is he the church? Is he the Archangel Michael? I don't know. It could be any number of things. Back to our point. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's at his second coming. The first coming is over in the beginning in verse 1. He destroys the Antichrist at his second coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. I think you can safely say that there's a strong delusion when the church walks away when Christians walk away from the truth and believe a deception and follow after deceiving lies, when we're not fully grounded here, we'll be deceived out there. And if Jesus, John chapter 1, I'm doing a Bible study with a buddy of mine. John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the Law and the Prophets. That's the Word that would be made manifest. And he said, I came and I fulfilled all of that, what was written about me. Right? So he's fulfilling it. He's that Word made flesh. The Word, Jesus is the Word is Jesus. He is in us, we are in him. We should be the fullness of the Word. When problems come, when somebody says, well, you know, it's, I don't know why you're so hard-nosed about this. Because it's what God said. And if they laugh at you, hey, at least they didn't behead you, put you in a cage and burn you alive. You know what I'm saying? They laughed at you. Come on. We've got it easy over here right now. I mean, compared to some places in the world. I mean, I would hazard to guess where Scripture says that men's hearts will fail them for fear is probably pretty rampant in the Middle East right now if you're a Christian. If you're a believer and you're living, we've got friends that live in the UK. We've got missionaries that we support that live in France. I mean, when they're blowing up concerts, bus stations, you could probably have some fear about going out anywhere. I mean, you might end up as a statistic. Great deception. It's a time for us to draw even closer to Jesus. It's not a time to kind of mellow out and just kind of go with the stream. Remember, Jesus himself said, the road to heaven is narrow, but the way of death is wide. And many are those that walk on the wide path. Can billions ever be wrong? Yeah. Millions of people can all be wrong. One person can be wrong. If what we believe doesn't line up with this, then we need to get lined up with it. When I first came here, I said several times, I said, I'm different. I'm different. But something that's interesting and I think that is important also in this is that throughout Scripture, if you'll read in Ephesians, be being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, keeping yourself filled with the Spirit. You can be a walking revival. The prophet Haggai said, or Habakkuk said, the glory of the latter temple will be greater than that of the first temple. We're the temple of God. We have the ability to outshine. In everything, remember, John, who's the disciple, the apostle of love, they could not kill that man. I mean, they crucified him. They boiled him in oil. They couldn't kill him, so they had to exile him. Yeah. Yeah. They couldn't kill him. He knew that Jesus loved him. He knew that God loved him. He knew. No matter what they do, if you love, they can't kill you. They might take your body. But it's a time more than ever to be close to him. I mean, there's so many signs in the heavens and signs in the earth and signs here and signs there. I mean, literally, the rapture could occur at any time. I mean, right now, again, there's huge turmoil on the Temple Mount. The president wants to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that's a sign to the world that America stands strong with Israel, because Israel wants our embassy to be in Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem to be recognized as their capital. Jerusalem is the eternal, everlasting capital of Israel. And the only one that doesn't want to admit that is the devil and anyone who sides with him. If you think that Jerusalem doesn't belong to Israel and isn't their capital, then you need to go back and reread your Bible. And anybody who wants to divide it, if you're siding with somebody who wants to divide it, no matter what reason, then you're siding with the Antichrist on dividing the city. Because the Bible says that the city will be divided and it'll be run over by the Gentiles. But you better not have a hand in it. Because God himself will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. There are ways that we just stay on the right side. And we've got to, in everything we do, stay on the right side. Right? We have to. It's a little heavy, right? It's a little heavy. I know it's a little heavy. But, you know, like I said, you know, it's just been in my heart all day long. Because I don't want anybody here to fall to deception. I don't want anybody at the Ridge Church to be deceived into thinking that what's going on over here is okay and give it an okay, give it a pat on the back, give it a handshake and a wink. Because it's not. We have to stick with what's here. Jesus is the Word. He is thou shalt not commit adultery. He is thou shalt not lie. He is thou shalt not steal. He is honor your mother and father. He is do not covet. He is have no other God before me. He is those things. He's all of it. If he's in us, then that's part of us, and we have to have that as a constant in everything we do. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father. I just thank you, Father, right now. I just pray over every person that calls the Ridge Church their home. And I thank you, Father, for them. I thank you that they will not be lost to the evil one. I thank you, Father, that they will not be given over to lawlessness. I thank you, Father, that in the day of tribulation, that they are strong. I thank you that in persecution, they find joy. I thank you, Father, that in every situation, we put our faith and our trust in you. And even if it seems like you're asleep in the back of the boat, we'll have faith and not be faithless, because you are always faithful. And I thank you for it, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Amen.